you know, you hold a gun to my head. I'll vote for Trump. I'll still be less involved.
In this video, we will talk about how Peter Thiel, a psychopath, God complex freak, has impacted our entire country, helping win the presidential election, and is even affecting the entire world. Every movie villain has a backstory. In real life, the villains more often than not have a road paved by gold, while slave labor builds their entire net worth brick by brick. Of course, they take credit for every single achievement. They spend their actual time to fight any pushback in the system to make sure no lowly peasants reaches their level of success. To be a sick individual, it's gotta start early, and for Peter Thiel, it does. He was born in Germany and then moved to Ohio, and everything bad comes out of Ohio, except my savior LeBron James, of course. His corruptness started when his engineering father, Klaus, moved them to apartheid South Africa.
So I've been editing this video, and as I've been doing more research about Klaus, his father, I've come to realize that he's from the Nazi party. He moved because the Nazis lost the war, and he was a Nazi. A large amount of Nazis moved to South Africa after the war, so much so that German was the second most spoken language in the region they were in.
Which, as you could guess, he was not moving to South Africa to be oppressed, but to do the oppressing and make money off of slavery. There's another rich freak out there who learned how to oppress folks from South Africa, and sadly, we all know him. Elon Musk, the king of failing upwards, who we will talk about later in this video, because the dynamic of their relationship is really weird. More on that later. Peter Thiel is white, so he went to private schools in South Africa that were whites only, and we'll see how he feels about black people later in his career. His father in South Africa got into government contracts and started mining uranium. And by him mining, I mean he was using slavery of the African people to mine these materials for the South African, Israeli, French, and Chinese government to build atomic bombs. And I'd say at such a young age, this is probably how Peter Thiel became demented, because the Africans that were working had no clue they were even building a uranium mine.
The magic of uranium stems from its property of radioactivity. It is this same property.
So the risk of radiation, yeah, they were never even told about them. There's quotes from that time period that said the workers were dying like flies, and the people that were running the entire operation knew. It was so bad that the white folks that would pay these workers would do it behind glass so they didn't get any radiation poisoning.
...of radon and its daughters is inhaled. Many radon daughters are retained in the lungs, where their decay and release of alpha particles can damage living tissue. The hazard is, therefore...
Speaking of poisoning his workers, there's a famous quote that is, you can even see apartheid from space, because when looking at apartheid South Africa, the workers' homes were always near the radiation, while the rich white folks' homes would be built on the mountains so no radiation would get blown into their neighborhoods. And obviously they did this because they were just poor labor class and their lives meant nothing to them. So his father was your usual scum taking advantage of the apartheid system and slavery. Would you be surprised if I told you the apple does not fall far from the tree? Eventually, Peter and his family moved to California to run a gold mine. He spent the rest of his time growing up in California, and because Peter got private education, he was very smart and always did well in school. In college, he ended up at Stanford, but because he wasn't socializing much, the boy was awkward and he had no social skills. You better believe if he was growing up today, he would be in the conservative pipeline quoting Fresh and Fit and Andrew Tate. Just like any other social skill lacking rich white guy, he joined the College of Republicans. His classmates from that time were asked, my light fell off the wall.
A quick thank you to our sponsor, which is me, because I barely have any subscribers. But if you find this video interesting, please like and subscribe so one day I can make that video.
His classmates later on in life were asked what they remember about him, and they remembered him saying the whole apartheid thing wasn't that bad and it was overblown. His first real step into the public eye was writing his book called The Diversity Myth, written by Peter Thiel and David Sacks, who was a venture capitalist who was also born in South African apartheid. David Sacks and Peter Thiel have been in many partnerships and ventures together even to this day. In his book, The Diversity Myth, he blames women for rape and discussed how higher education was increasing multiculturalization and this would harm the future of America. He just wanted to be around a bunch of white guys 24/7. Peter ended up getting his law degree and tried to walk that road, but gave it up because when you're rich, you can just give up law. And then tried to trade stocks and failed miserably and gave that up too. After that, he went to daddy and relatives and pulled together $1 million to start a hedge fund in the late 1990s. Because we can all just find $1 million to start our own hedge fund. Now, if you ask me, this is a good old-fashioned American hardworking guy who did it all on his own with no help from anyone. Within his hedge fund, he lost almost $100K immediately. However, remember, he was in California, he was in the Bay Area, he was in the right place at the right time, and was able to capitalize off the dot-com boom. This is when his life actually starts to get interesting. He invested in FieldLink, which was a technology created by Max Levkin, who was an actual coder and created a way for people to transfer money between Palm Pilots. I'm not sure how many people are even old enough to remember what Palm Pilots are, but they're like the iPhone before the iPhone. FieldLink later changed the name to Cofinity, which most people have probably never heard of. Out of this company spawned something that most people have heard of, which is the system they use to make secure payments. That is PayPal. One of the main reasons he decided to invest and make PayPal was because he thought it could be turned into an alternate currency to take down the US government. Another quick note on PayPal, Thiel and Levkin, they employed no women and were proud of denying a candidate who said he enjoyed playing hoops instead of basketball. Sure, you could guess the reason for that. But back to Cofinity, this company was still only able to make payments between Palm Pilots, but literally in the building next door was the company X. Yes, there was a company named X, and you can probably tell where this is going. Company X was trying to do the exact same thing except across all phones. That company was ran by none other than Elon Musk. And this is where their relationship begins. Musk and Thiel decided to partner up to bring this technology to all devices. Even back then, Elon Musk was a madman. He had aspirations to make PayPal so big that no one could stop them, and they did this by paying people to sign up for PayPal. To sign up for their product. Eventually, their user base became massive, with most of their payments coming from porn and gambling. They decided to shift into taking a small percentage of every payment that went through their app. Banks and other partners were not happy about this. Elon's idea actually worked. The company had grown so much that they became untouchable. Their partners in the banks just had to accept it. Elon Musk partnering up with Peter Thiel ended up having its own risks. Thiel and his rich, backstabbing snake board members of PayPal, which they called themselves the PayPal Mafia, decided to boot Elon Musk when he was on vacation with his first wife. Back then, Elon called it a coup, and he would later say in an interview he was so furious that he had thoughts of assassination. But of course, Elon has no spine, so eventually he came back to Thiel and said, "I'm sorry, daddy, for being rude," which was the smartest thing he could do because eventually Thiel would come to the rescue and save him. One of the most important parts of the PayPal situation was how Peter Thiel managed to stack $5 billion of straight cash in a Roth IRA account. The Roth IRA account was created for low and middle class Americans to try and stow away money for retirement. But of course, these freak billionaires found every way to take advantage of it. In Thiel's case, he forced the PayPal board to give him money to buy stocks in the company pre-IPO, which is before they go public, and then also took money from his own Roth account to buy over 500,000 stocks, which was illegal if you controlled the company. But at the time, he didn't. He found the loophole. Thiel was a trendsetter at this. Him and many other rich people took advantage of this system. In the coming years, Congress loosened the laws on this, so Thiel repeated this multiple times with multiple different companies. Any gains made in Roth IRA accounts are not taxed, so he will have access to that account with $5 billion when he turns 59. Peter Thiel is 57. Back to the main storyline. Eventually, PayPal was bought out by eBay for $1.2 billion. Elon made a lot of money selling PayPal, and he decided to start funding SpaceX. SpaceX was burning through cash, and eventually got to the point where Elon couldn't fund it anymore. He didn't have the money to do the fourth launch. His company should have been cooked, but here comes the same man he said he wanted to assassinate to the rescue. Thiel and friends gave Elon Musk $20 million and allowed him to successfully launch his fourth rocket. 2, 1, 0.
We're in stage 1.
After this successful launch, the government gave him a $1.6 billion contract, and Thiel's investment company now owns 10% of SpaceX. Thiel's connections don't stop there. He was also an early investor in YouTube, LinkedIn, and he was the first outside investor of Facebook in 2004. If you think about social media in terms of the algorithm, there's only one he doesn't have his hands in, and that's TikTok. But I want to say a very strong doesn't have his hands on it yet. I could go on and on about Thiel's history, but it's time to talk about how we see Thiel today. Because everything in what we are seeing today in conservative media is Peter Thiel, even Hulk Hogan. Peter Thiel secretly funded Hulk Hogan's lawsuit against a media platform called Gawker. They released a sex tape of Hulk Hogan a while back, and he ended up winning $160 million from that lawsuit and bankrupted that entire company. This is more ridiculous than anything else. We see Hulk Hogan on stage with Trump. There is no way that these things don't have correlation. Let's go over a list of companies that Peter Thiel has ownership in right now. He owns LinkedIn, SpaceX, Stripe, YouTube, Meta, Oculus, Lyft, Rumble, Airbnb, and the list goes on and on. Thiel is on the forefront of technology for the military and government contracts, one of the companies being Palantir Technologies. Palantir's first investor was the CIA. The CIA has a capital investment firm called NQTEL, and Palantir as a whole racked up over $1.2 billion of investments from the US government alone. Now, I don't know if you remember, but Thiel started PayPal to overthrow the government. Now his biggest investors in his company is the US government. This is very much like Elon Musk, two complete idiots that benefit from the government while trying to take down the government. It quite literally makes my brain hurt. Palantir is very active with military equipment using AI to commit attacks based on what the AI believes to be threats currently being used on the Palestinians. This use of AI did not start last year. This has been going on since 2021 when Israel committed atrocities in Palestine. And back in 2021, Israel said that the use of this technology could be considered the first AI war. AI needs an insane amount of information and data to fuel itself, and there's no need to guess how Israel has gotten the data on Palestinians. Whistleblowers have come out saying that the NSA had provided Israel with raw data on phone records and emails from Palestinian Americans that would be in contact with their relatives in occupied territories. The NSA stated they are providing unfiltered texts and scripts of conversations that US citizens are having with their relatives directly to Israel. And this abuse of power is how they were able to target Palestinians. The company is now saying it's currently developing an even more powerful AI targeting system. According to Palantir, Titan is a next generation intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance ground station enabled by artificial intelligence. It has machine learning to process data received from space, high altitude, aerial, and terrestrial layers. Knowing that SpaceX owns Starlink, which is Elon's satellite company, and a quick reminder, Thiel also owns a part of that, it would make sense how he has the capability to do all these things, and most likely under Trump, with Elon's power, he's going to have zero restrictions on whatever he wants to do. Thiel is not just at the forefront of war overseas, but the leader in facial recognition in America. He was one of the early investors in Clearview AI in 2017. The tech world was worried that this technology would be used for weaponization of people on American soil. And sadly, they were correct. Thiel has used AI facial recognition under Trump's first presidency to assist ICE to find immigrants. They used information from Palantir to find and target unaccompanied migrant children to abduct them from their families. And this is exactly how we saw kids ending up in cages. The mass deportation that Trump has talked about will be on the back of Thiel's technology. And this time, there will be no one in power to stop him. And the reason why is because the people in power he put there. He has been involved in politics since 2007, although not successful early on, funding candidates like Ron Paul for president who failed, and then tried funding Meg Whitman for governor of California who also failed. He failed again in 2012, setting up a YouTube channel for Mitt Romney when he was running for president, and that time he spent $3.3 million in ads. Finally, Thiel found success in 2016 during Trump's campaign. Thiel was a prominent figure and speaker, tokenizing himself of being a proud proud gay man in the Republican Party. I'm sure the conservative men that were crashing the Grindr apps were also feeling very inspired to speak their truths. This is where the success really begins. His power within politics would skyrocket. He has now funded Ted Budd, Senator of Washington, D.C., Ted Cruz, Senator of Texas, Blake Masters, Senator of Arizona, Eric Schmidt, Senator of Missouri. He has funded these House of Representative numbers: Tom Cole, Mike Gallagher, Harriet Hageman, Brian Harrison, Joe Kent, Kevin McCarthy, Chris Stewart, Michael Waltz, Patrick Witt. One of the most important ones is Vice President J.D. Vance. J.D. Vance, without Peter Thiel, is just some big-head, chubby-faced, misogynistic nerd living in Ohio. But with Thiel's help, he rose to riches. J.D. Vance, prior to getting involved in politics, decided to open a venture capitalist firm. Can you guess who gave the seed money to start it? It was none other than our boy, Peter Thiel. After that, Vance decided to run for Senate in Ohio. Thiel gave his super PAC $15 million. The most ever in a senator race. Thiel is directly connected to J.D. Vance receiving the nominee to become vice president. And this is where it gets a little weird. In 2024, Thiel says he is taking a step back from politics and won't be donating to Trump's campaign because all of the sudden, he thinks money won't help win this election. And this is just what I believe. He decided to not invest his money publicly because he is investing his money in the background, funding right-wing influencers, podcasts, and journalists, and even building an entire university. Co-founder of Palantir, Joe Lonsdale, created Texas University as a non-woke alternative college and has raised some $200 million to teach forbidden courses by people like Mark Andreessen. Thiel also gives scholarships and is an active donor to this college. Thiel also has an insane amount of connections to the people that Trump is bringing in to run different parts of the government. For example, Trump has chosen Jim O'Neill to work alongside Robert F. Kennedy for the Department of Human and Health Services. Jim O'Neill used to work for Peter Thiel. Trey Stevens, who is supposed to receive one of the highest ranking positions at the Pentagon. Defense Secretary, managing the defense budget and executing the priorities of the Secretary of Defense, basically means unlimited funding for Palantir. Blake Masters, who has also worked for Thiel, is under consideration to head up the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. When Blake Masters found out he was up for this position, he said that while he didn't have a clear visibility into the circumstances of this endorsement, he suspected members of the Trump campaign and friends helped make the case that the former president should call on him. Really? Friends? This guy's claiming he didn't even know Peter Thiel was going to call him up. Peter Thiel has also directly impacted how we see money entering politics today. Many entrepreneurs who had not been politically active said the opportunity was too good to pass up. The chance to influence the government is a huge opportunity, said Jack Abram, who leads Thiel's foundation. Honestly, this rabbit hole I have been on, connecting all these dots, seeing who has their hands in what company and what part of government they are going to be influenced, is truly mind-boggling and hard to even understand how deep all of this goes.
I made this video prior to Donald Trump's inauguration, and this news article solidifies what I've been saying. A Trump party hosted by Peter Thiel with all of Silicon Valley. The party symbolized the euphoria of the tech industry on the cusp of Trump's presidency. The guest list included Mark Zuckerberg, Sam Altman, Miriam Adelson, and the vice president-elect, J.D. Vance. I don't think it's a coincidence that these things are being held at Peter Thiel's house, and this is just more evidence that I believe that Peter Thiel is the one who is running our government.